Hello, hello. How's everybody doing out there? Talking shit. That's right. Talking shit Tuesday coming at you every Tuesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So we can go ahead and, get you guys on game of what's happening in the automotive racing industry. Today, what we're going to talk about is don't go on a podcast unless you know what the ramifications of you being on a podcast will be. We'll talk about a couple of guests and my personal experience of going on a popular podcast, what the game plan is, what the potential ramifications of being on a podcast could be. And just because you go on a podcast does not mean it's a positive thing. And today we're going to show an example of someone I had dealings with, not so positive dealings with, and the Amry stepped in and pretty much made their presence known to the tune of over 130 plus comments in 2 days on a video that has barely 7,000 views. And it's interesting that we have built a community here of accountability. This is what I want to highlight more than anything. I'm not the most popular guy. I don't want to be the most collaborative fella. I don't want to play with the go-along, get-along gang. I want to be a guy that's independent, holds people accountable for their actions, and gives you at least a pulling back of the curtain of the automotive and racing community. We'll talk about that at length, and I'll get you my thoughts, and we'll read some of the comments because I think they're actually pretty funny. Also, I'm going to mention and rehash some of the stuff about SEMA, EPA, and all of their enforcement actions in the last 5 years, and how a lot of people are just forgetting that it's even a thing. So much so that certain people are running to become members of a, let's just say, agent of the government. Because you and I both know, SEMA is not on your side. SEMA is a government handler. SEMA says, we will take in your parts, see if they're government approved. What? And then give you the SEMA check mark, and then you can sell your parts. Fuck that shit. We'll talk about that and more, but not before Mr. Bill O'Reilly says hello to the people here.
Okay. We'll do it live.
Okay.
We'll do it live. Fuck it. Do it live. I'll write it and we'll do it live. Right. Fucking thing sucks.
It absolutely sucks. It always sucks. I'm telling you, everything sucks. PMAS, nicknamed the PMAS, the best cold air intake on the planet. Send your intake to get cold air flowed. It doesn't matter. The data is better on PMAS. Didn't have performance, didn't have performance.com. Didn't have performance PMAS intakes. Cold air, wheels, tires, blowers. Get your Whipple blower there. Amry cups, YDBT Amry cups. Get them there. The tumblers, that's right. Keep his life busy. Parts on parts.com. Use Mustang parts. Pull out. GT250 pullout, GT500 pullout, seats, fenders, lights, wheels, tires, transmissions, you name it, they can ship to your house. CalendarTransmission.com, getting the Corvette ready to get back to South Florida just in time for monsoon season. Balak, Caleb Backward, selling you the best prop boat nuts. That's right, prop nuts, propeller nuts, and wheels for drug dealers. That's right. Putting Motex on GT500, proving yet again that they're not going to be able to launch their ship, Motex or not. And MFP is sending by 10 more crank supports, so we can go ahead and get you guys crank supports. I got to see my name on the chat, Alex. You forgot to put my name on the chat. We got Coyote Fury and Andy Ali saying hello. Leon Phelps, 2000 MTR, Clean I3 GT, B. Levesh, D-Rock, Fox, Savar, Martin, or Mocky Mock, Joe Switch, Clint Stroke, Dixon, Wesley Stewart, Among Solo, Mini by Batman, Douche, Douche did it. Junior Garza? Whatever. Travis. Jay. It's probably Juan. Juan Rodriguez Garza. TJ Sikorsky. Mini by Batman. J.R. Garza again. Rudy Bukala. Boy, you got the D from the Rob the Toon Burglar. Says hello, hello. Kona Blue. Scott Andrews. One of one Archer. Hoodie 2103. Colby Ledford. Mini by Batman. Only 540. Mini by Batman. Jared Dwells. Paul Bonthew. X on Devil Dog. X, I don't know what the hell that is. Is that some kind of, am I in trouble? Harley Takwachi Mode, what is this? Did you just like call for some kind of weird shit to happen to me? Bryson Witt, a couple of times. We got Coyote Fury, IEZR, Mini by Madman, Robin Williams, Mark E. Willis, Eli Gonzalez, Mike S., Mini Bike, Brandon, and Michael Locks, All Things Boots, Gregory Upfitch a couple of times, Mini by Madman again. We got Sopla Pote, Sam Morales, All Things Blues, Media by Madman again. Holy shit. Robin Williams, Matt211GT, B. Levesque, Mikey T, Valley 10 Speed saying good morning, good morning. Mini back 100 more times. Apparently, he has nothing else to do. Freedom Rider, Jay Bush, 5-0 Kid, Timmy, Victor Sardone, Magnetic, Artie McFly, Frankosaurus, Cole Daniel, Parker Performance, what's up, brother? Sean Pinkerton, More Pews, More Boost, Ivan, Minibike, and Billy Heaton. Let's talk about it. Let's say you're somebody in the automotive community, and you've been embroiled in, let's just say, not so great things, dealings. Going on a podcast, I think even if you have, look, I have had controversy in my past, but I'd like to think that my nose has been pretty clean and I've been honest and upfront about everything I've done that could be used as some kind of ammunition. But at the end of the day, my job and my main source of income has been this show. And it's been basically trying to teach people about the Coyote platform, trying to bring clarity as to what's happening with the EPA and government action and all this other bullshit. So I try to be credible. I try to have credibility. I try not to screw people. I try not to say something bigger than I am. I'm not ever going to say I'm the best tuner. Case in point, when you go on the Street Alpha podcast and I got invited there, I had the opportunity to shit talk whatever I wanted to shit talk. I could have called people out. I could have said just the dumbest shit. But then I thought to myself, this is a good opportunity to teach the people that don't know about the Coyote platform something that you and I both know, but the general population does not. So I tried to bring them into the fray, into the fold, into the Coyote community, and help them understand what I think and what I know about it. And it has been really good. I've got over 1,500 to 2,000 subs because of the Street Alpha podcast, directly correlated to the clips, to the show. And they always say, hey, I'm here because of the Street Alpha podcast. And I appreciate them highly. I hope they got a bump. I got a bump. So there was a game plan. When you go on another podcast, you got to understand what's the game plan. When I went on the Cooper Baghetti podcast initially, I was gonna talk mainly about my thoughts about racing and the EPA enforcement stuff. That's what I wasn't there to teach him about Coyote stuff. I don't care about that. That podcast was mostly government intrusion into the tuning community and how it's been ridiculous. But somebody went on there that I've had dealings with that I got a motor built by and did a not so great job. Okay, remember, guys, the reason I sent my GT500 motor to Keith Ray at Wonder Racing, let's name the name, because I'm not looking for a refund, because I'd rather hold this in my back pocket. It had a valve train failure. Okay, so it had either a chain brake or a chain sprocket break on the cams. Sent it to him. There was no major damage. The pistons didn't kiss, nothing like that. So you would think that having a valve train failure, those cams aren't trustworthy. You would say, let's get all new valve stuff in there, a complete new valve job, valve springs, everything on the valve train, leave the bottom end alone. Again, hindsight is 20/20. But I was convinced to go higher compression and upgrade the valve train. I had no idea what the hardware looked like. So then when I got it back and had it fail like the first or second watt pull, I went, something's off. This is not a tune issue. This thing has been tuned the same way for 5 years, and it ran pretty damn good, and it slowly but surely lost power, which can be attributed to now, in hindsight, the valve springs. So after I took it apart and started looking at how loose the keyways were in the cams themselves, and then there is this crazy, crazy thought process that shimming or narrowing the key on the gear on an already slacked keyway and hoping that the bolt retaining the gear is enough. Hell, why not remove the keyway altogether? I'm not saying that's what caused the issue. I think the issue at the end of the day were the valve springs. I had weak intake valve springs on three of the cylinders. So every time I went into boost, it just basically valve floated itself into just not doing a damn thing and not processing the airflow, and it just didn't do anything. But I only found that out after I took it apart, after already paying $12,700 for a motor and none of the valve train stuff. Like, I would have said, let's get new cams, let's get new springs, let's get new followers, a new valve job. You want new valves, let me know. Leave the bottom end alone. Like, don't even fuck with the bottom end, and then just put it back together and send it back your way. I probably would have been in the 12.7 range anyway, but everything in the valve train of what failed would have been fixed. Hindsight 2020. So lesson learned. Now, people say, why'd you take it to him to the, in the first place if you know he has had issues with motors before? Because I had an experience four valve issues. The gentleman has had some issues with Coyote motors based on personal experience. I have physically seen them with my own eyes. I know intimately the issue with his Coyote motor builds, but not necessarily the 5.4, 5.8 stuff. So I said, well, that's his bread and butter. You would think he'd know what he's doing with that. Maybe he did everything right, but the parts that should have been replaced was everything in the valve train, hindsight 2020. And you don't know that as a customer until after you look at it yourself and take it apart. So he went on a podcast, started talking about his setup, his racing experience, blah, 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 blah. I'm not going to play the clips. There's no clips to play because he talked about himself. But what we built here, the Amry, this show's about you guys, is a entity of accountability. And I think anyone that I dislike, anyone that I come across that I don't like because I have had personal dealings with them and they go somewhere to try to promote their product or try to come across as a voice of authority, the Amry goes in and I will show you some of the greatest things I've ever seen in my life in terms of comments. So he went on the Cooper Brigetti podcast. And again, Cooper Brigetti has, I have no dog in that fight. Cooper Brigetti can interview whoever he likes, but I can also talk about whatever the hell I like. So apparently he went on, had a 2-hour conversation with him about his motor, his experience, da-da-da-da. But the Amry went in there, and let's just read you some of the comments. Mini Bad Madman says he learned a lot about cutting keys. Someone says, Tristan Jackson says, this guy sucks, can't build motors for shit. Did you give Alex his money back? I can smell the brushes in the DeWalt tools. Isn't this the guy who doesn't replace valve springs after a valve train failure? The comment section did not fail me. How can I teach these keys? Wait a minute. Isn't it the guy that charges $30,000 for a built motor, then grinds your keyways and reuses all the Volt valve train components in an engine refresh? Amry FKR. You got... So someone said, this guy's my motor builder right now. And someone said, are you serious? And basically, whatever. Lost my keys. Does anyone know any good key cutters? Isn't it the clown that fucked the YDBT motor? What a clown. Again, that's what they're saying. I did not tell anybody to go in there and talk shit. The fuck's a key cutter? The fuck's an Amry? And why is everyone calling this dude a thief? I need some context, please. Oh, my Lord. I love the Amry comments. Says Kikino horsepower and one of the biggest engine scam. Oh, no. Okay. So, okay. This is their comments, not mine. Ah, one of the biggest binge scammers in the game, lying about what's done to a motor condition and then finding out the opposite of what he said when it's opened up. Yeah, so this comment section, guys, Keyless Keith, dude's such a tool. If you want to pay 12.7 for some pistons, this is your guy. His engines make so much power, you'll be floating valves in no time. Keyway Keith, who needs keepers? Hello, here for the Amry. So, and someone, yeah, so sorry, Coop, not watching this one. Guy can't even match cam caps for a friend. It is bad. Now, this is the pros and cons of being in a podcast. If you have, you know, some stuff going on that no one else knows about, and then you pop out and go on a podcast, the podcast has a way of making everyone, I don't want to say brave, but let's just say it's not a positive for you to be on podcasts. You have to have, one, the gift of gab. Something a lot of people in the automotive and racing community don't have. They talk about their racing as if it's interesting to them, but then you go, wait a minute, you're not entertaining anybody. So when you go on a podcast, you got to go, how am I going to entertain the people? What is his core audience like? What are the biggest interview watched, the highest watched interviews? What do they talk about? How do they come across? And can I contribute to that kind of content? I definitely can, because I do have the gift of gab. Proven. That's one thing I will say. I can speak very well at a high level, and I know what entertains the people. But if you're going to go out there, knowing that there has been some controversy, don't be surprised when people talk shit. Now, the other issue about podcasts is people get brave. Obviously, you saw what happened with a tuner when on another podcast talked shit on me without even the podcaster going, oh, wait, is this even, before you talk shit, I want to make sure there's no libel stuff being said. But no, he just ended up going along, getting along, agreeing with the guy, what the guy said, and that's all fine and dandy. And then shortly thereafter, I made it very, very well known. Anybody that I fuck with goes on that podcast, that is your right, that is your absolute You're free to do whatever you want to do. So am I. I can then say, well, you going on that podcast, you're doing it for the clicks, the likes, and maybe to get notoriety or to become famous. Even though your boy got slandered on that shit and you went on there and didn't really say anything about it. So I went, boy, that's interesting. So that's what made me realize, and again, not that moment right there, but in general, it just verified what I've been telling you guys about the automotive and racing industry. No one's friends. Nobody here is friends. This shop is not friendly with that shop, is not friendly with this shop. Nobody gets along. But they need each other to make money and be in the go-along, get-along gang. No one is real. Everyone is a phony. Most people are fake. They'll come up to you right to your face, smile, borrow tools and parts, and then on the backside, fuck you dry and do not even give you the benefit of spitting in your asshole before you get it up the booty.
Oh, wow. Oh, fuck.
Not even. At least that guy sounded like he was enjoying himself. So, this is a cautionary tale. If you're going to go on a podcast, I would do the best to vet what podcast you're going on. I went on the Cooper Brigetti podcast early on. I haven't gone since. He's invited me back. I said, no, thank you. Because why? I don't have a personal beef against Cletus, Street Speed, Stang Mode, Mustang Lifestyles. He's just a clown. So I don't really have a personal beef. But I also know my brand cannot cross streams with those guys because I know what I want my brand to do. While others talk shit on the backside, but then show up in Homie's video. And I go, oh, so you're just full of shit. You're willing to go on Homie's videos, be there, love that you're there just to be famous. I have literally been asked to do many things. I could have given Street Alpha the full YOLO experience for 3 hours, but I said, no, let me just talk like a normal person, give them some Coyote content, and we are good. But the Go Along, Get Along gang is always going to be out there trying to get clicks, get likes, get business, but that just means their integrity is in the gutter, and I'd rather not deal with anybody like that. And most people in this industry, I want to say 95% of the people I have personally met and shaken hands with in this industry have zero integrity and will do whatever it takes to get clicks, likes, and business, even if it means burying good relationships, personal relationships with people. Now, what I was gonna talk about on the EPA handling front, I was looking up what would be, and gun guys in the chat, if you were to say, what is the best example of what SEMA is in the gun game, would it be the NRA? So is the NRA akin to what SEMA is in the automotive community? Perfect. So NRA. So the NRA, in my opinion, uses their position in the game to help you be in compliance with the government. People keep saying SHOT Show. SHOT Show or NRA convention. So does the NRA become the government's agent in it to say, Street Alpha, I love you. You know what I love about you, bro? You're a fucking real one. You ain't about the bullshit. I appreciate you very much. I saw him got on the shirt. Give me that shirt so I can wear it proudly. But he actually gave me a forum to try to drop knowledge. And to this day, right? Street Alpha Podcast? Do you know how many times? You know how many times?
To this day.
To this day, I see clips of your show with me and you being chopped up by different channels, streetcar clips, this and this and that. You could clip 50, 40, 60 clips of our conversation and have it be an Instagram reel because there's so much information and opinion because it is an opinion-based what I'm saying is opinion-based based on my experience. But let's say the NRA has been the agent of the government, basically unofficial branch of the government to help people be in compliance with the gun laws. So thank you so much. And look, isn't it weird how it just like it peters out, then it takes off again? like you see it flatten out at 150,000, and then in the last 2 weeks it went up again. I was like, wow, it's crazy how it just becomes, the virality of that video seems to do really well for our 3 hour podcast. So SEMA to me is like the NRA is to the government. SEMA has a program that you can potentially submit your part for scrutiny and see if it's in compliance. Someone said, no, that would be the ATF. Interesting. I'm trying to make leaps here, but if the ATF, that's an arm of the government. I need an unofficial arm of the government, and that would be the NRA in my opinion. So if SEMA says, give me your cold air, I'm going to verify that it meets everything I need it to meet so that the government give you the blue check mark, that person is acting like the government's handler, the government's agent, their bitch boy. So, for example, let's say you find out someone like Grand Thumb, right? A YouTuber, very popular YouTuber, always is pro 2A and showing you all this stuff and everything's great. Let's say one day he gets, I don't know, popped by the ATF. It's like, hey, some of the shit you showed on YouTube wasn't kosher. I don't like it. And we're going to hit you up and fuck you. You're either going to blow us away and have a standoff like Ruby Ridge, or we're going to fucking take your shit. Or you could sign this sweetheart deal, give up people that you know, get us some bigger fish, and then we'll let you slide. Right? So there have been cases in the automotive and racing community where a person was basically bankrupted, put in the gutter, but another person tied to the exact same fucking shit slid and now is trying to become a SEMA something. And I thought that's absolute fucking sus if you look at it from that angle. If you look at it from that angle, please understand what I'm trying to say. If Alex Flores one day gets popped by the EPA for making computer chips in my house, and these chips you plug in and it, you know, disables DEF or disables something, it disables a bunch of things and it makes it faster. That's a defeat device, according to the government. So let's say they say, hey, bro, stop that shit. Whoa, I got another guy that builds them. I just market them and put them together. All right, well, we'll put him away, but you got to give up more people. I'm not saying this is happening, but I'm saying that some people got popped and suffered the full weight of the government's, let's just say, prosecution of the person, and other people just slid. What happens when your homies in the trap house get all picked up and one homie comes back and the others stay in jail? Tell me what happens, guys. Put it in the chat. What happens if the homies are in the trap and they're at doing some work? They all leave, get picked up by the paddy wagon, and one of the homies comes back. What is that motherfucker? That's right. He cooperated. Nah, man. It wasn't me. It was homie. It wasn't me. And look, I got the receipts. I got the text. Look. So when I see somebody from a company not suffer the consequences of what someone else suffered in that company, I go, that's weird. That's weird, right? So this is the kind of stuff you guys don't hear on any other show. This is the kind of thing you'll never hear on any other Mustang car YouTuber, Cletus, any other channel. You have to understand what's happening out there. Nobody is on your side. And if you look at it from a right to, you know, work on your own shit, right to repair, all this bullshit, if you really see who are the main players and the people you have to go through to become compliant, they were like exes of a company. It's like it's like hiring a guy who hacked your software to protect your software. How can you trust that guy? How can you trust the guy that hacked your software, got popped for hacking your software to protect your software, when he was the one that hacked your software. And this is just a pure example. There have been cases where in the government, computer hackers in the, I won't say 2000s when the internet was the Wild West, they were in there just Pentagon and this and that. They were hacking the shit out of stuff. So instead of them going to jail and being prosecuted for a long time, they said, wait a minute, you know the loopholes. You know what's happening. Why don't we hire you to protect the loopholes? If he was doing criminal behavior before, why would you trust him to be all of a sudden on the up and up because he's working for you? I'm not saying that's what's happening in the automotive community, but I'm giving you and highlighting an example of what could be seen as cooperating. The word cooperating in the hood is not good. I'm not from the hood. I get it. I am from the hood, but you know, a lot of people think because I speak well, I'm not from the hood. Okay, whatever. I'm not looking to get street cred here. But you got to understand, if one guy got popped or two guys get popped from a company and one skates and never really got in trouble, ooh, what's that smell? Sasso, man. Sasso. Used to be Ron. We'll talk about it. What do you think about that? Imagine you work for a company or an entity that is the government's handler. SEMA, you are the government's handler. You are not someone that I, Alejandro Flores, nobody else. You're not someone as I see as an authority on shit. Because I can do whatever the fuck I want with my car. In my opinion, it should be left up to the states. Why? There's equal landmass, I want to say, in what? North Dakota, right? So let's say the USA map. If you look at something like North Dakota or something, let's zoom into the map. Let me see. North Dakota. Okay, so. Boom, boom, boom. Let's say you live in North Dakota and look at the landmass, right? Whole bunch of nothing up there, right? Whole bunch of nothing. Look at South Dakota, a whole bunch of nothing. Why in the fuck should these people be made to follow the same laws as people in Florida or in Texas or in California? Why should every fucking state in the United States follow guidelines based on what one fuck shit ass state does when if you want to be left alone and free, you generally head the fuck up to Montana, Wyoming, South Dakota, North Dakota. You want to be left alone, right? So why would I have to follow the laws of California in North Dakota? That makes no fucking sense. So when I want to build my car to do whatever the fuck I want to do and go racing, and if it has a VIN number on it and they say, you can't do that. Why? Because it's a federal law. What the fuck are you talking about? There's three people in like a 100-mile square area in North Dakota where I live. I want to build a nice little truck. Yeah, it's built after the Clean Air Act has been enacted, but I want to put an off-road exhaust and go racing on the weekend. What's wrong with that? Well, California CARB says you can't. What the fuck does that have to do with North Dakota? That's why I think people at SEMA not fighting for your rights is something that seriously has to be looked at. You guys just sit there and go, SEMA garage, SEMA this, let's go to SEMA. Fuck SEMA if they're not gonna stand up for your rights to fuck with your own car. But the people with the go along, get along gang want to be in compliance. Yes, sir. No, sir. You got it. I just want to sell parts and be left alone, sir, until they just keep regulating you right out of fucking business. Crazy shit. Let's talk about it and we'll see what bullshit we can come up with then. Just like abortion up to the states, that was actually something that I agreed with. Not to get political. I think it should be left up to the states. And it's real simple. People will say, well, what if I can do something in one state and let's say I don't want to have this, so do I just go to another state and get it done? Technically, but then if that state makes it illegal, you have to make a decision. What's more important to you? Swirling up baby brains in your guts so that you don't have it or staying in that state? Let's say you want to stay in that state, but then that state makes it illegal to go out of state to basically do a procedure. Well, you have to decide what's more important. Your rights to you know, abort, or you're right to, or where, or you love where you love where you live so much, move to California, move to New York, and do whatever the fuck you want to do. It's real simple. They're cracking down on Montana plates big time. The end is near. Randy Weaver was just trying to modify his hot rods, man, for clout. They didn't back up the RPM Act that didn't get passed. No. RPM Act, dead. Right to Repair Act. Listen, the Right to Repair Act encompasses so much, but then at the end of the day, I guarantee there's still language in the Right to Repair Act, because you know how it is. You think it's just like a little thing. You think it like a little pamphlet. It should be real simple. Right to Repair Act, the ability for anybody to be able to fix their car in their fucking house, because who owns the car once you buy it? Once you buy a car, is it yours? Remember when people made fun of me for renting, and then they're like, you're so stupid. I own my home. Do you really? Do you really own your home if you pay $6,000 a year in tax? Do you really own your home if the government says, I think for the greater good, it's better to shove a highway right through your fucking property so eminent domain comes into play, will pay you market value, and fuck your property rights? Do you really think you own your shit? So you have a Mustang, 2024 Mustang. I own it. I can do whatever the fuck I want. Can you really do whatever the fuck you want? Can you just put an exhaust on the bitch and just pass inspection in that state? Can you, you know, modify the software? Is it really yours? It's not yours, especially modern cars. In my opinion, modern cars are basically rent. The rent, you're renting the ability to drive anywhere. Why is that? You got to register the car every year. You're not, that's not free. It costs money to register a vehicle to a government agency. Then you put a little transponder in the bitch so you can get to where you want to go to easier. But now the government, who you're paying a registration fee every year or two, or an excise tax every year or two, knows where you're going, where you're at. Oh, your car has sat nav, your car has Wi-Fi, your car has all these GPS enabled awesome apps in it. Is it really your fucking car if they can actually enable a kill switch in it? Is it really your fucking car when it reports back to Ford that you went over 140 miles an hour at a track day event? Is it really yours? Interesting dilemma we have here. When everyone talks shit about property rights and I got this and Alex that, and meanwhile, your home that you pay taxes on every year that you thought you owned can be just swiped up from underneath you if the government just wants it. So please stop with this bullshit about, you know, I'm free, I got all this stuff, and you're paying taxes up the ass after your money's been taxed just to have things you think make you free, and at the end of the day, you're really not. It's crazy stuff. Corporate America doesn't like its employees doing whatever they want. Right to Repair Act also applies to heavy equipment. There's so much dealer proprietary tools, it's insane. Let's talk about a John Deere tractor. Let's say you're a farmer. It's already difficult to make a fucking dime. It's tough. There is no hours. You finish when you're done. You wake up, have your eggs and bacon and fucking butter, and you get out in the field and you do shit until it's done. Let's say you said, fuck, I got to buy this piece of equipment to get my, to make my job a little easier. Piece of equipment's brand new. One day you're driving it, doing whatever you got to do in your land. It breaks down. You can't do a goddamn thing unless you call John Deere. And John Deere goes, or Kubota or whatever. John Deere goes, sorry, bring it in for service. You want me to bring in a fucking 15-ton piece of equipment, 200 miles to your shit? This thing's got to do shit to the field right now. And it's just a dumb little sensor. Can't we just bypass this dumb little sensor until we... Sorry. Bring it in. So you know a guy that hacks your shit, right? Guy hacks your shit. Lets you... Oh, that's just a fucking dumb little, you know, combine sensor. Here you go. Boop. Well, what the fuck? How come I couldn't just get that information from the dealership, from the manufacturer? They don't want you repairing shit. Manufacturers make some money selling cars, but you know where they make the most money? Fixing cars. That's why the service departments are so robust. That's why they're literally set up like drive-thrus at Chick-fil-A. Multiple lanes, quick lube, in and out, da-da-da-da-da. Then when you're in there, they try to sell you every stupid little thing, try to tell you your cabin filter needs to be replaced after taking it out. And then when you say, sure, replace it, they charge you labor to put it in. So Right to Repair Act encompasses everything. All that means to me is every new car is not yours. The dealer sees it as their vehicle because they have to ensure that it's in compliance. And even after you pay it off, asshole, you still have to be in compliance if you're in a state. Let's say you live in California and let's say you have a gas-powered brand new car, Hellcat, Trackhawk, whatever, and you're driving down the road and you did not mod it. You didn't mod it. You'll get pulled over by the cops because it's a little louder than we think it should be. And you got guys in the industry that were fighting against that. But the moment they get popped, they go, I'd rather work for the man than to work against the man. And those guys are nice and quiet about it. Those guys don't talk about it. Those guys stay quiet. Shh, go along, get along. Let me get my money. Let me raise my family. And I'm good. Then they talk about government overreach in the same breath. Boy, shut the fuck up. It's like people that protest anti-corporate laws or anti, let's say people that hate corporations are sitting there going, fuck corporations. Yeah, with my fucking iPhone recording the protest. Oh my Lord. They make money on maintenance and then 45 years later telling you how much better a new one would be since it takes less maintenance. Oh shoot, let me get the paid chats out of the way so you guys don't think I'm not saying the right stuff. Bono Burr says, Street Alpha Podcast in here. He's the real one. Most people nowadays don't live for anything worth standing for. It says, just a memoir. Man of War gave me 13 Canadian doll hairs. Thank you so much. And nobody owns anything nowadays, says Mini Bike Madman. So that you don't hear that on these podcasts. You hear how awesome it revs on a key fob. You hear how awesome, how much power it made. You hear about how it revs. Nobody is telling you that you're literally being, I don't know, hypnotized into ignoring what's happening out there with the car community. And some people just say, Alex, you're just talking. You're not really for the... Okay, well, at least I'm talking about it. At least I'm bringing awareness to it. The others are telling you how badass they are and how they've been doing it for a billion years and blah, 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 blah. And then all of a sudden they get a knock on the door. They're like, what is this? And then after the fact, when it's too late, they all of a sudden get on game. You want to talk about criminal? Warranty for shops, text is criminal. 0.7 of an hour to pull a seat out of harness, replace the seat frame, and shove the seat back in. Somebody somewhere is watching you drive 24 Mustang car. Somebody somewhere is watching you drive your 24 Mustang to cars and coffee. Canadians are snow Mexican, says Smasher Devourer. No, Mini Bad Madman. And that's the other thing. I understand that you guys think I'm up on everything. When you don't fuck with certain people, you don't fuck with certain people. And I'm a throwback when it comes to loyalty. Tell me who you hate and I'll hate them. If you're my friend and somebody does something to you, I don't fuck with them ever again. Ever again. If they do something against me and I fuck with them again, fool me once. Shame on. You can't fool me again. Never give anybody a second opportunity to fuck you. Is that right? Is that right, Diddy? Oh, never give the opportunity for anybody to fuck you a second time. Meek learned. China already invaded and took over a while ago. It's a slow invasion. It's interesting. Local dealers loaded with 24s. Not sure they're selling too well anyway. And I've got to see I've yet to see a dark horse on the road. Yeah, but you're like in Kansas City, right? Canadian rupees, clout tokens, FLKR. All the technology is awesome until you have no privacy. And by then, it's too late. The Cadillac I know is a snitch. I am not unaware or blissfully unaware what the Cadillac's purpose is. It's a luxury vehicle to make your life as easy as possible. And the thing you give up to make your life easy as possible is your autonomy. You are not, guys, you got a cell phone? Government knows where you are at all fucking times. Hell, I was watching the Boston Marathon bomber thing on Netflix. It's a 3-part series. Go watch it. It's pretty good. The Boston Marathon bombers, for those of you that don't know, some guys from, I think, Eastern European guys, two guys, Joe Carr and the other guy, I forget his name. They, you know, set off a couple of bombs at the finish line of the Boston Marathon. Boom, there's cameras everywhere. That was the infancy where cameras were just everywhere. People were just starting to get cell phones and good camera quality, all this stuff. Then they hopped into a SUV. The SUV has constant GPS on it. So the Asian fella that they carjacked to get the SUV goes to a gas station and calls the police. And he goes, "Oh, hello. Yeah, my Mercedes has been stolen by a couple of people that I think are the terrorists." And they're like, "Really? How do you know this?" "Well, they look like them." "Oh, so what kind of car is it?" "Oh, it's a Mercedes SUV." "Really?" So that guy gave the police the GPS serial? I guess this guy had memorized everything about this Mercedes truck. And said, "Oh, you smell so good. The GPS serial number." And then he gave him all that. And all of a sudden, the cops were able to track that motherfucker. They were able to track these people live. Found where they were. Then they found out, oh shit, this car has GPS. It has all the nannies. They ditched the car, got in a Honda Civic. Then, while they were doing that transfer, they got caught by the cops, got in a shootout. It's a very good thing to look at, and that is because of the Patriot Act. You think that extends only to cell phones and emails? Your car's a fucking snitch, bro. Your car's a snitch. I remember a Hennessy video not too long ago. Maybe over 15 years or 10 years ago. Guy goes to the drag strip, goes over 125 miles an hour, gets a call from OnStar. "Hello? Yeah? We've noticed that your car accelerated very harshly and then very harshly decelerated. Are you okay?" I would have been like, "Cancel my OnStar service. Fuck you." My insurance app has a notification on my phone right now, says Frankosaurus Rex, telling me it's going to help me find cheap gas and parking spots automatically. Everything snitches on you. Alex channeling his inner Cartman for the Asian accent. Yep, GPS is just another network protocol. It still has to send MAC address to based on MAC address, and they know the location. They know your location. So when you go out there saying you're racing in Mexico in a car that has GPS-enabled shit in it, hell, my 13 GT might have it. But I'm literally in Mexico. I go all the way to Guadalajara with that car. If it has Wi-Fi capabilities, you're screwed. Alex, the police solve so many crimes from cell phone location data. Exactly. That says, dude, we use AI cameras and GPS to detect when Edgar's out in the field trying to spin the company 250 or steal gas. It's funny as fuck when you send it in. Yeah, he ran his own brother down. That was nuts. In that, so if you're not aware of the marathon stuff, it looks like it's laggy. Why is my shit laggy? So I tried low latency, and I think it's probably fucking with the stream. So I apologize, guys. I don't know why if it's choppy on your end. I apologize, but I ended up kind of seeing the issues that could be caused with modern technology. But in that marathon bombing documentary on Netflix, remember, they caught these guys in a shootout somewhere and someone said, "Looks good here." Excellent. My end is fucked up. They were caught in a shootout. The older brother got shot up to the point where his adrenaline was just rushing and he rushed a cop. And then the kid got in the Mercedes and ran, tried to run the cops over because they were subduing his brother in the middle of the street, and they jumped out of the way and he ran his brother over, opened him up. His whole side was open. It was nuts. Looks good here. Now it's fine for me. Excellent. Google Maps has live traffic. How do you think they have that info? Mass stalking. So when somebody talks positively about SEMA and nobody questions them. See, this is going to be my issue going forward. I'm never going to get a guest that wants to have tough questions asked to them. Because I'm not a podcast. I'm a live streamer here. And then I do videos. But if I do an interview with somebody, I'm going to ask you tough questions. I'm going to ask you, you know, who you got beef with and this and this and that and, you know, whatever. And why. But if you're like an advocate of a government entity or a unofficial government entity, aka SEMA, I'm going to go, and you are in the industry. I'm going to go through line by line what they think about this. And if they don't give me a satisfactory answer, I'm going to grill them a little more. I'm going to say, wait a minute. Didn't you used to do this? And now you're trying to do that? Isn't that a little bit sus? This is why all my vehicles are older. You ever wonder how often they're watching you via your cell phone camera? Yeah. Like, look, when I jerk off, I turn the camera upside down and turn everything off. Right? If I'm here, I'm like, yeah, I'm a kid needs to take taken care of. I take this guy off. You know? I turn everything off. So, you know, I there's got to be video somewhere in NSA or somewhere of me like walking in and out of the bathroom naked after a shower. Didn't they use infrared to find that last kid hiding in a boat in someone's backyard? I remember watching it live. Yes, that is very good. You need to watch the Sean Ryan podcast with the trans Navy SEAL guy. Mind would be blown with all the stuff the government can track. The trans Navy SEAL guy? What the hell's happening? I got to watch all that shit. Sounds like a hell of a documentary. It's very, very good. About to throw my draggy away. Yeah, the draggy's telling you where the fuck you're doing shit. And if draggy gets subpoenaed one day, boom, everyone's fucked. I've said that before. One day the draggy company is going to sell all that data they've collected. Killshot Racing says, he said something to Tristan Jackson. License plate recognition is every light and put it on a database. They reference it when they need it. The automotive industry has a lot of bootlickers. That's the other thing. You don't think I'd be making more money? Actually, I'm going to be honest with you. No. I think this brand that we built here, because the Emery doesn't fuck around. The Emery is on Mustang 6G. The Emery is on Facebook. The Emery is on Instagram. The Emery is on YouTube. The Emery does not fuck around. They will correct somebody that has slighted me instantly. So you don't think that this channel? No, I really don't think I would have. I would have just been another motherfucker. If I was like, yeah, Cletus, let's do a collab. Call me Puerto Rican Alex. You know, and I can say Buenos Dias. You know, no, fuck that. Like, I want to be able to look in the mirror in my 1-1 and go, I didn't sell out for any of this shit. Why don't Pulse Racer have social media because of all that bullshit? All my draggy data got wiped for some reason. The house got a shitter outside. Exactly. Wonder how many years before they can't hold it against you. Alex, just remembered you get that SpaceX Matchbox thing I sent you. Yes. Thank you so much. I don't have it up here yet. I have a Klingon bird of prey. Okay. I have a Klingon, bird of prey. And I have a Vulcan. What the fuck is this? Romulan bird of prey. Sorry. Romulan bird of prey. And I forget what the Klingon one is. Is it like a warbird or some shit? Let me see. Klingon cruiser. I thought it was a bird of prey. I think they got it wrong. Whatever. When I was in Kuwait, says Justin Martinez, our army controlled the cell tower near the camp so they could see and hear all the messages and phone calls. I was talking to a girl that was a Marine stationed out in fucking Dubai, or not Dubai, but Kuwait or some shit. She couldn't text you. She literally could not even, like, she'd have to WhatsApp you. And I'm like, no, this is a scam. No, it wasn't a scam. She was legit over there and said, I can't talk to you too much. I can't even give you names. We can't share photos. The moment you send the picture, if you're in the armed services overseas to someone over here, boom, you might as well just hand in your shit. The reason I watch is because you don't have to become a character. You've not become a caricature of the car culture. You say what you think and aren't afraid to tell the truth. Rare on YouTube. But Jimmy Jams, do you think that's why I make the money I do? Or do you think that's holding me back? Let's have an honest conversation about that. You don't think if I collabed with Street Speed, Lethal Performance, VMP, that dude in blue, you know, Stang Mode, Mustang Lab, you know, go along, get along. You don't think if I collaborated with them that I would have had more views? Yes. Would I have had more credibility? No. When you step into the ring, or you put yourself in the same area code as people that are go along, get along style YouTubers. Remember, they don't want controversy because then you got to stand on it. Then you got to be able to defend your position. That's a really tough thing to do, right? When I go out there, I'm going to go out there knowing that somebody might not like me and they might stand up to me and say, you know, I don't like what you said about this. And I'm like, well, on a personal level or like on a professional level? Because I don't know you from Adam. But you know how it is out there. People get, chippy and you have to handle your business. I guarantee those people don't want any of those problems. That's why they're befuddled as to why I think they're shit. It's because they're just caricatures and they're just... Imagine I did not exist in this industry. You'd think the 24 Mustang's the best fucking shit since sliced bread. You'd think the Whipple Blower is the best thing ever. The Whipple Blower is now the only blower. Is that good for the industry? Tell me at what point in history has a monopoly ever been good for the industry? For the industry. It's great for Whipple. It's wonderful for Whipple. They love it. But now you're Microsoft, right? Now you're USA Airlines. Right? There is no parity. The only reason, it is very interesting. See, I know too much. That's the problem. That's the problem. Because I can go down a rabbit hole and make you guys really think about what the fuck's happening out there, right? Think about it. Why is it that only Whipple has access? Come on, guys. Let's do some thinking. Why hasn't Paxton gotten access? Why hasn't Vortec gotten access? Why hasn't ProCharger gotten access? Why hasn't ESS gotten access? They can make a bracket. They can make a kit fit. But they don't have access to the tuning. Why? So you're telling me the 2024 Mustang, the only blower I can get for it is a fucking Whipple? What if I don't like Whipple blowers? What if I don't like how they look? Well, you can't get a 24 Mustang. Could you imagine that? That if you want to buy a certain product and modify it, there is only one option, and people in the industry think it's a good thing? Again, it's great for Whipple, but industry-wide, it's not a good thing. You want competition. Because what happens when you have a monopoly? Now they have control over everything. Now to the point where Shelby's like, yeah, we'll put Whipples on our shit. What in the fuck's the difference? You're telling me I could have a 24 GT and next to a Shelby Super Snake drag race and the GT beat the Super Snake? That sounds ridiculous to me. But they both have Whipples. None of them have turbos. None of them have tuning. Why not? Who are you hurting by making Whipple the only people able to have access to the tuning? Ford. I don't even know if you understand what you're doing. There is only one tuning company since the outset of Coyote that has dominated, has been the best in volume, performance, and drivability in that Mustang platform. And you don't want to come to the table with those people? I can almost bet if Lund never existed, number one, a couple of tuners wouldn't exist. But the tuning would have been just... You guys are better at this than I am. Name a platform that once a tuning company went away, the platform went away. You don't think if Senior one day wakes up, scratches his nuts, has a coffee, and he's looking outside, he goes, fuck this. It ain't worth it. I'm not getting my props. Everyone's fucking me. Half the tuners out there tune with my shit. You know what? Call it. Guys, company-wide meeting. I love you guys. You guys are awesome people. You have done an excellent job for this company. But I'm about sick. I'm about sick of this shit. And we don't get the props we should get. We don't get the respect. Even though we've made Mustangs, single-handedly made Mustangs relevant in the aftermarket game. Because I don't care how many parts you put on it. If the tune isn't on point, it doesn't matter. So I'm going to bounce and I'm going to fly my plane, buy a couple of horses, and I'm good. Buy some land up north a little bit and just call it good. I'm going to retire. I got some money saved up. I'm good. House is paid. I'm good. You guys, hey, you know, here's a little bit of money and figure it out. I would look at him as a success story. I would go, senior, you've done a badass job. You built the baddest Ford tuning company ever to exist. You invented remote tuning, basically. And you deserve to have a sense, you know, a good send off into the night. What do you think will happen to the Mustang platform going forward? You're stuck with Whipple tunes, motherfuckers. Every single one of you are going to be the same ass motherfucker. Go to a car meet, 24 Mustangs and up. They all have Whipples. They all have stage two kits. They all have the same fucking tune. Now you got to switch platforms. Because you want to do something else. You want turbos. You want custom tuning. Ford's like, nah, Whipple's all you get. Okay. I am blown away that nobody from Ford has officially reached out to the people that have made the Mustang relevant in racing, with the stock computer, of course, and said, what can we do to help you? Because you guys have single-handedly propped up Coyote Mustang since 2011. Fuck you if you don't think so. Do some research. Go backwards. Tell me who the fuck's been doing shit since 2011 on the Coyote platform. Name your local dyno tuner here. Get the fuck out of my life. Droopy Wables, it's not the others win. You lose. Others now have to create files. Others have to buy the platform and tune it. And it'll be subpar. And you'll want a revision. You'll be calling the shop for 2 weeks and not get a reply. Going back to carbs, A9L. I can't believe the arrogance of... I don't care. I'm not even going to mention that fucking name because he hasn't mentioned mine again, so we're good. But I already said what I had to say about that fucking clown. Someone in Cooper's comments said Senior sent him to Keith. I wonder if he means Lansenior. Hopefully that recommendation has changed. I don't know what Senior recommends. I don't know what Junior recommends. I don't recommend homie at all. At all. I say you want a Coyote built, FFRE. You want a four valve built, L&M. Who gutted their Whipple S650 the most will determine the winner. If Lund goes away, we get Bama. Yuck. Ford versus Lund. I don't know. I wish I knew who the main guy that makes that decision, because Whipple has Ed Badillo. He's an engineer for Ford, has Ford files. So I don't know who's the intermediate person, right? You got Ford, you got Ed, you got Whipple. So how does the file go from Ford to Ed? Right there. So Ford, Ed, what's here? Is it a person? Is it someone that says, here you go. Here's the exporting stuff. Here's the binary stuff. Here's the A2L stuff. Here's the C file stuff. Here's the... I don't know. But that we should be right there. And people say, I know the people right now listening that think it's sour grapes. It's not sour grapes. We make your shit better. Like, it's just how it is. I work for the company that makes your shit better. Right? Because without an E85 tune and a 1100, 1200, or 1700 cc injector, you're regular traffic, bro. You're regular fucking traffic with a whiny hood. At least for most moderate builds, check your email for someone talking trash. Dude, he talks trash all the time. Let's go. He talks trash all the time. He can't keep my name out of his mouth. It's like a girlfriend that's been dumped, bro. Can't keep my name out of his mouth because, you know, he don't know what to say. Let me see. Cole. 4 days ago. It's kind of part. I'm sure he has no good file. Anonymous person. Who do you show? Anonymous. Cole Daniel. Mechanical parts verified. Anonymous participant. Sounds like mechanical issues, not a tune issue. Mechanical parts verified. I'm sure there's no good file. But who you guys shout, the remote tuners. I'm sure they don't hack or suck off tunes like your buddy. They don't. They don't, exactly. Someone said, I'm sure they have a known good file. Okay, I'll give you an example. Today, I've had two guys. Today, Vortec guy. ID1050X's return style fuel system, Vortec math. Right? Says, I have a hard start issue. So, if Alejandro Flores has tuned 800 people with ID1050Xs and a Vortec MAF, and none of them have reported a hard start issue, am I going to go, well, maybe this file doesn't work? And people are going to say, all cars are different. Yes, when they're mechanically fucked, they're different. Yeah, absolutely. So I said, look, I'm going to make you check everything. Everything. Because it's not my shit. He's like, well, you know, there is a little bit of chain slapping noise coming from the car. And I'm like, let's fix that. Well, I don't think that's causing the hard start issue. It might not be. But let me ask you a question. If you're a tuner, right? Let's say you're a tuner and you own a dyno and you are now responsible for calibrating this vehicle. And the vehicle has a built motor built by a verified builder, not Fast Forward. And the guy goes, I have chain slap and it sounds like it's knocking pretty hard on startup. By the way, it's having a hard start issue. Can you fix it in the tune? Don't you think if you're a tuner worth anything, you would say, want to fix that shit first? Want to fix the hard start issue first? I mean, want to fix the knocking first? Like if a car comes up to the dyno, yeah, can you put it on the dyno real quick and go what? I go, no. I'm not going to put it on the dyno real quick and go what? Why would I do that? He's going to have oil all over my fucking dyno. No. It just needs a retune. No. Listen to it, bro. It's knocking. I'm not putting that on my dyno. I don't give a fuck what you say. And then they go on the forum. Fuck that guy. He didn't want to tune my car that knocks. So people will say, what's a chain slap have to do with hard start? Maybe the cam is not in the right place on that bank. Maybe the phaser is acting up on that bank. Maybe the chain tensioner is not proper, putting the cams in the bad position on that bank, causing an issue. I don't know. But I'm sure as hell going to say, you might want to fix that shit first before we start throwing files at it. Right? Or am I way off on that? My common sense filter comes out and I go, I don't think I want to start sending you files when there's an obvious chain slapping noise. I think it's more of a current Ford company culture. They want to be more appealing to the alphabet crowd and suburban liberals. They probably see it as toxic to invest in the racing community. And that is a very good point. Ford does not look at Lund with a 6R80 transmission and go, holy shit, please tell us what's in that transmission that is able to withstand 2,400 horsepower, 2,300 horsepower. No, they don't give a fuck. They go, if it lasts after the warranty period, we don't give a fuck because we're all about making money. And then Ford Racing goes, why don't you stick an iron block in it? One has gone 390s to the eighth. We've gone 660s, 450 to the eighth. What? You know what you should do, guys? You should get this iron block. An iron block. That's what we should do? Yeah. This Godzilla, I think, is something you should look at. No, you don't get it, dickhead. We've gone this with a 5.0, 10,000 RPMs. Are you not curious as to how we're making that happen? Nah. Because our main focus is EVs. And we'd rather make a 7-second EV Mustang than to see how you guys are able to achieve low sixes with a 6R80 and a 302. We don't care. They don't give a fuck about you. Ford Racing is not Ford Racing anymore. It's not Ford Racing anymore. It's Ford parts, basically. Can you tighten my chains in the tune? It could have jumped a tooth. If you tell a guy who has a heavy mechanical background, Chains are making noise. By the way, it's having a hard start issue. I'm going to go fix the hard start issue. Fix the chain issue. Well, I don't think that's causing it. How can I teach these kids? Alex, how much do you think the 13 GT gains going 85 over Shell 93? Not much. You're going to be surprised that the 13 GT is not going to gain that much over the 93 octane anneal. Why? It saw 29 degrees. Remember my Street Alpha podcast show when I said Puerto Rico has the best pump gas I've ever seen. And when they dyno it on pump gas and it sees 29 or 30 degrees, I told Rami, it's not going to make that much more on the 85. And he goes, well, it better. I'm like, it's not, especially naturally aspirated. It's maybe going to make a little bit more torque because I can shove timing in earlier. But peak horsepower is going to be the exact same. So what I'm going to try to do is see if the knock sensors are happy and shove timing in down low. But that car is going to run maybe a 1239, which is like tenths of a second quicker. It's not that much. Ford Racing wants to ban full semi-auto extended mag revolver weapons war. Farley wants to be a Porsche. Dude, gotta go. Aloha, tío. It's common for Nissan Xterra and Pathfinder. Someone said that when Cobb went away, Subaru shit went away. You don't think if Mustang goes away, you will be stuck with emissions compliant, CARB certified Whipple tunes for the rest of your life? That's why I always said 23 and under, 23 and under, 23 and under. It's still strange that only Finland can unlock BMW DMEs, though. Very suspicious. What's crazy is if your cam timing is off, the scan tool shows the actual versus desired, and it takes like 2 minutes to check. If your chains are slapping, you better fix it. Or you're going to need an engine. That doesn't have anything to do with the tune. So let me try to peer into the mind of a mechanical mechanic. Okay. I'm nothing special. But what I do is I have access to files that are so verified over years and refined that when I send it out to somebody, I'm going to say, if it acts weird, you have a mechanical issue. So let's say you got your ASE certification, you went to school, Ford sent you to another school, and then you left, and then you came back, and you learned how to rebuild transmission, and da-da-da-da-da. And then you said, I want to start a performance shop. That's cool to me. You rent the one garage bay. You work your way to a two-door bay. Then you have a two-door bay with a secretary and two techs. Right? You're pretty hot shit. You think you're pretty hot shit, right? Damn, I did something. I have a shop, two techs, two bays, two lifts, and a secretary. I'm good. Hey, Alex. This car's making a little bit of a slapping noise at startup, but it's having a hard start issue, so just tune it. You have slapping chains? Yep. Okay, fix the slapping chains. Take it all apart. Replace the phasers, the tensioners, the guides, everything. Put it back together. Is it still slapping? Because if it's still slapping, you have a valve train issue. Right? So fix that. I can't have a car coming in making mechanical ticking noises. And you think, fuck that. I don't care. I want it to start better. I have all these certifications and I worked my way up to this. Who the fuck are you, tuner, to tell me that you know more about mechanical shit with me?
I was a millwright for 15 years.
What's that have to do with anything?
Cars ain't shit compared to millwright shit. So my mechanical aptitude is on par or better than yours. So if a reciprocating part is making noise that it should not be making, it should be fixed. Do you think I'm just some nerd that came out of high school, was shown these files, throw them at people, and just adjust the math curve and add timing, and that's all you do? My chops dictate my opinion on what those files can or can't do. And that's my heavy mechanical background. Fuck out of here. Don't give me your fucking patch talk. Don't give me your patch talk. Show me your fucking patches like they fucking matter to me. Here's my ASE. I change oil in Jetta fucking tag. Fuck out of here. Fix the shit. Just increase the oil pressure for the tensioners and slow down the leak for the tune, Alex. And again, I'm not trying to indict that guy. That's just an example because he's going to hit me up with the ticket system tomorrow. How dare you talk about me? No, I'm using you as an example. If there's a mechanical sound coming out of an engine and we're in the middle of tuning it, fix the mechanical issue, please. Just like when your GT500 motor wasn't working on the same tune it ran for years, you took it apart and found an issue. Crazy how that works. Exactly, says Muffler. I can't hook on my bald ass tires. Could you reduce timing on the hit for the tune? Wait a minute, Muffler. That happens. It's called no prep racing. That's right. There are people out there that go out of their way to race in an unprepped surface and blame the tuner because the car doesn't get down on an unprepped surface. Well, why don't you just go ice racing in the motherfucker? And then blame the tuner because it doesn't hook on ice. Hey, Alex, can you do something? It spins the tires too much. Hey, can you slow down the shifting? On the 1-2, I lose traction. Okay. Here's soft shifts. Hey, I put my boost controller to 25 PSI and I smoked second gear. Any idea why? Because I took pressure away because you're bitch ass said it hit too hard on the 1-2. So now you smoke the clutches. Stupid. Every day there is something like that. So understand, we can only do so much. And like nitrous, it's heavily end user dependent. So Alejandro Flores sets the timing at this, fuel at that, verify it with a watt. You're good for a 150 shot, sir. Activated at 3,800. Deactivated at 7,000. Let it shift. And then it should come right back on after the shift is made. Right? Doesn't know how to activate it. The fuel solenoid doesn't turn on. It gives it a 150 shot. A dry shit blows up. Blames the tuner. How the fuck can you blame the tuner? That's like blaming the tuner if your intercooler pump stopped working or you forgot to turn it on because it's on a switch. You make a pass and you see 250 IATs. That's the tuner's fault? The tune protected itself. Nothing you can do if you got 250, 300 IATs with 20 pounds of boost because you forgot to turn on an intercooler pump. End user dependent. And at this point, almost everything is end user dependent. It doesn't hook on the 1-2. Get better suspension. It doesn't hook from a 30 roll. Put a sandbag in the trunk. Or get a bigger tire. It's weird. There's an awesome bar angle change video using an RC. The video needs to be shared more. Sorry if this is left out of left field, but is this so Bread Boy isn't going to pay the bill? I didn't ask for it because I don't want to hear the word no. You know what I mean? I'm like, I saw the damage. I saw the bill to repair it. I'm going to send the bottom end. The bottom end today was sent to L&M. I'm going to put it all back together with the help of Senior. Senior's going to put it back together. I'm just going to help him. I'm going to hand him tools. I'm going to hold the flashlight. I'm going to put it in. If it has oil pressure and it makes boost, cool. I want to reserve the right. Because if he pays me, then I can't not recommend people to go to him because he did right by me. But fool me once, shame on me. So, sorry, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, you can't fool me again. I'm not going to open myself up to be fucked with a second time. No, thank you. Clutch Kick says, subbox with 210s or 12s make a great addition to the trunk for traction. Would Lund Racing mess with timing launches for a stick? No. Why don't you just vary the RPM? Kilometers with your right foot. Only 3 times I contact my tuners to verify a log, ask if a part is worth it or significant change in the setup that needs tuning. Motherfuckers don't even know how to read their plugs. Spraying a Costco 87 and say their tuner is nitrous is bad. Guys, ASC stands for ask someone else. I had a guy. ESS. I love how people say ESS is trash. Every centrifugal file I've done since the beginning of the year
Hell, I want to say if I've done 300 centrifugal files since the beginning of the year, 295 are ESS, G2, G3, or G3Xs. Say what you want about ESS. I'm like, does Vortec even exist? Does Paxton even exist? Does ProCharger even exist? ESS seemingly took over everything. So say they're bottom of the barrel all you want. They perform. You can go eighth with them. They're easy to put on. They're easy to tune. The bracket's made well, and it seems to be a quality part. How can you go wrong? I always wondered why tuners suggest tuning the nitrous, turning the nitrous off on a ship. I find it hard on the transmission when it turns back on halfway through the ship. Okay. Okay. Let's say you have a manual. And let's say you miss a shift. What happens? Nitrous and bias plies? What happens? Nitrous and bias plies when you go, whoop, and the nitrous is on the whole time you're doing this shit because it's above 3,800 RPMs. Whatever. Whatever. I don't know nothing. Alice, why do so little people run the G3 or G4? No. Okay. The G3X, you can make 900 or 1,000 horsepower with. I don't think the 3R or G4 is better unless you are running a 85 millimeter pulley. People that run a G3 or a G4 on a G3R or a G4 on a 120 millimeter pulley are wild to me. Just like people that buy a 2650 and put an 89,000 millimeter pulley on it. Why the fuck do you buy a 2650 if you're going to use a 92 millimeter pulley on it? That sounds really fucking stupid, doesn't it? I had a customer with a Roush RS3, got convinced that a Gen 3R was going to be better. Oh, but I'm going to stay on pump gas. Okay, take your Roush blower off. This Gen 3R is going to be so badass. Cool. Awesome. Had a 79 millimeter pulley on his Roush blower. Now he has a 92 millimeter pulley on a 2650. Hits me up and goes, Alex, it feels slower. I go, of course it's going to feel slower. Why wouldn't it feel slower? I don't get it. It's a bigger blower. Right. But you're spinning the rotors slower so you can get the 10 pounds of boost so it feels lazy. When the 79 millimeter pulley whipped up a lot faster, and it felt fucking great, didn't it? Pendejo. Oh. On the limiter, on the spray, no nitrous, Bonderbird, OPG have left the shot. I'd say this based on experience. I've seen people leave it on during the shift. I'm like, just shut it off a little bit. It'll be progressive. It'll be fine. No, these motherfuckers want to leave it on to 8,000 RPMs. Okay, cool. When you hit a limiter, go pop, 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 boom, nip the plug, then what? What happens is when they miss a shift and that shit blows up, they start blaming the runner or the tuner. For transmission, their mom's giving birth to them, okay? People overbuild the internet clout. Having the biggest blower sounds cool to the people that don't know shit. I want to see a G3X or G3R on an Illuminator in a Fox body if someone can make it fit. Alex, why do so few people run an F3 blower? Why don't you just shove a fucking F4A crank mounted, but make sure it only sees 10 PSI. Hell, you want to hear something even fucking stupider? Stupider's not a word, but whatever. More stupid? Imagine somebody convinces you to pulley all the way down to death, but then you wastegate everything but 10 PSI. Torque booster, stupid. Oh, just get a torque booster. It'll feel better because you got 10 PSI up to, you know, a certain amount. Actually, you'll have the blower speed of 50 PSI, but then the wastegate goes, whoosh, get rid of the rest, get rid of the rest. Just give them 10 PSI to the motor. Or you can just get a blower that makes really good nut down low, like a Whipple or a Roush or a Edelbrock E-Force. Positive displacement instead of a Sentry. Stupid, stupid, stupid. Otto says, thanks to Lund and the person I was talking to for the Ghost Cam tune on my not ideal setup, I really appreciated the same great customer service. Never fails to impress. Might as well put a funny car blower on your shit. I bought a G4. It's overkill for now, but it was a smoking deal. Why is my 3A Whipple with lock cam slow when I launch in third? Oh my God. We all have ego. Every single you, me, everyone. We all have ego. That F4 will be super efficient on 10 PSI. Yeah, like, whoosh, there it is. There it is. But get rid of the rest. You have 40 PSI blowing out of your blow-off valve. But you got that 10 PSI going in. Feels really good. Sounds like shit. Everyone has ego. So when somebody is, you know, shooting shots at your ego, it hurts a little. And when you're wrong, your ego takes a hit. And you go, God damn it, I can't believe I was wrong. There's a reason I say I'm not the best at anything. I'm just a dumbass who shares, you know, tunes and I tune. But I know enough about cars to know that I can tune them comfortably. I work for Lund Racing. I tune how they want me to tune. No different than if I work for Boeing, Northrop Grumman, or Raytheon. However they want me to work, I will work. But on my personal shit, I do whatever the fuck I want. IATs to the roof. What happens when the car wastegates exits the chat? Exactly. Sounds like a vacuum cleaner. Bro, stock cams can make up to 1600. I don't know why people are putting cams and locking them in a boosted car when they can just add boost. Coyote, hold on. Stock cams can process, but that means the heads are going to have to be ported. The cams are going to have to be locked to a certain position. It's going to be good. If you were literally in low power mode and you were bunching up boost somewhere that it is not should be bunched up inlet, I understand putting comp cam stage threes to relieve that, flow more air at lower power levels, sub 1000. I'm going to put comp cam stage threes in my Gen 1 because that was what Donnie did. Now, if the stock cams seem to be chilling, I'll leave them in there. What's up, Jason R? There is always going to be someone that knows more than anyone. The F3 question was sarcastic. We're making fun of people running the big blower here. I know. But you know Craig Walls. Craig Walls lives in a different level of competition. Guy has Billy Badass Motors, fast cars, knows his shit. So he's probably trying to bring in some logic to the situation. Might regret saying this, but there's a refurbished G3X to the G4 intercooler for $59.95 on the ESS website. Not nothing wrong with that. Again, G3X, G4, race car shit. Deal. Based on the data y'all have on the ESS already, do you think the market would be good for them to include a Gen 1 Coyote, or should they stick with what they have now? I think the ESS is so good with Gen 2, Gen 3, leave it alone. Gen 1 is tough. You got to price. I'm hitting the P's, heyo, and it's making that popping sound. You got to price it properly. If you price a kit too high, you're not going to sell. And then you got to account for the R&D and tooling. But if ESS on the cheap can make a kit work on a Gen 1, I have a Gen 1. I'm not buying a G3X. That's not to say I wouldn't buy one later on. But right now, I want a Roush blower. I want to vet it that way because it's going to be a drag car. You know, just drag racing, do some street stuff. But imagine a bunch of Gen 1s out there with a G3X return style fuel system and a 110 millimeter pulley and a 5C converter. It's going to be a problem. It's going to be a problem. I was told that cams are not made as well as they once were. Do you have any insight, Alex? I haven't heard anything negative about aftermarket cams, like comp cam stuff. So I don't have any insight on that. No, I'm sorry. Have you ever heard of good things about ESS Chevy kits? Have not. All Gen 1 guys still run a JLT intake with a port AT manifold. They're not really buying blowers. I agree. Did you get a Gen 1 auto for vetting? Do you know? Do you think it's better than a manual? I don't think it's better than a manual. I think it's... I never had one. And I want to duplicate Donnie's build. That's all. And I'll give you guys content. Refurbished equals discount or new. Same guys that have the problem with refurbished will put reman alternators and AC compressors. Same thing. You're not wrong, Tyler Phelps. Well, Alice Cameron Fisher, that roll car with Texas 2K has stock cams of VCT. I asked. Again, up to a certain power level. He has twin turbos too. So I would want to do comp cam stage threes on a blower car. On a blower car that makes 900. I wouldn't mind doing comp cam stage threes. One. It lessens the hit. I can now pulley way down and it's not going to be super violent on the hit. And if I'm having trouble hooking, it'll help that. But I'm not going to put any cams on the car until I need to. Should I just leave the Gen 1 Coyote with the Otterbox Supercharger setup? That would be a good introduction for Boost. Those that are new to Boost, I think a Gen 2 point, a Gen 1 Coyote with a Otterbox E-Force 2.3 is a good little combo. They're releasing the S197 kits next month, I heard, says that dude Chris. I'm honestly surprised that more people haven't made an ESS fit on the Gen 1 like that one guy did. It's not the cams, it's the oil, says the fish. Damn, that build will probably be right about $12,000 to $50,000 when it's all said and done. That'd be a hell of a deal for a 9-second daily driver. ESS will need to make the bracket for the passenger side like Vortec to work. ESS used Vortec head units. Used to use Vortec head units. Not sure if the bolt pattern is the same still. Mikey Box says, what size turbos would you? I don't know. I don't care. Will Paxton 2200 Gen 1 with an Illuminator 6 already go 8s max effort? Yes. 20%. 3.1 upper. All the timing on the planet. IAT relocation kit. Spray meth to mitigate IAT issues. And you're good. That's what Carlos Vergara has to do now. Valley 10 speed. I said Valley 10 speed. It's time to mitigate IAT issues. He went 890 shifting at 7,500 RPMs with 150 IATs. If the guy brings IATs down to 100, that's like a 40 horse gain. If we shift it at 8,100, it'll probably go 860. But I want him to do trans brake. Oh, get a roll cage, get a parachute, trans brake, second gear leave, 8,100 shifts, IAT relocation kit, meth down the bitch to mitigate the IAT issues, 860, 850 ESS car all fucking day. Went 168, dude. 158. You know it has more in it. VP Gen 2, 2R is king if you're doing Gen 1 Coyote. Calamar, okay. What converter are you getting for the Gen 1? I can't remember if you already have it or not. I do not have it. I got to see what Senior has. My choice would be a 3C or a 4C. I want to be able to launch on a trans brake second gear leave with 331s or 355s because I think the 410 first is not suitable for drag racing. Do you think the Ford messes with Whipple due to them being from California so they know about carb legalization stuff? Not sure whether the superchargers are made. The superchargers are made here in California, supposedly. Total metal that didn't have anything to do with China COVID stuff. Oh, you know, it was weird how China COVID stuff really put a kibosh on shit and had a 50-week waiting period. Had nothing to do with that. But anyway, everything made in the USA, I think the carb stuff has a lot to do with it. They don't even need a subpoena. The government can access everything without a warrant. Tristan Jack says, how come we don't see many coyotes running meth like LSLT stuff? Because you don't need to because the intercoolers are pretty good. But big boy stuff, I think you need it. Hey, Alex, how high would you rev a TVS blower combo stage 3 NA cams? 81, 8200. It's all about where it lands, Phil Fez. Where the next gear lands. If the meat of your power curve is over 6,000, but you have to rev 8,200 so that on the shift you're over 6,200, 6,300, that would be where you would shift and what would dictate the shift point where the meat of your power is. I would have went ESS on my Gen 1 if they had a kit. Currently in the process of installing a Paxton 2200 to sell, 12-7 compression, 3-3 pulley, 10% lower, 4 triple pump. ID. Oh, bro, that thing's going to run, Ryan. Ryan, if the motor's built by FFRE, that thing's going to run. But because it's 12-7, I don't think it's built by FFRE. They like lower compression. Also, are you going to go with the 2-3 Ross blower because it has a removable elbow? Yes, and not because it changes injectors easier. A completely different reason. Ken Phillips says, appreciate you keeping the same energy week in and week out. I try. It's not easy, but I try. Max effort. Gen 2 VMP 2.3R. Couldn't get 8s. Ran 9-11 two times. Then you didn't go max effort. You needed a really loose converter, probably second gear leave and 355s. Connor Racing is a good example of a self-builder tuner racer. 6s CTSV. Take a look. Nah, don't care. ESS running 8s. These ass clowns praising 24 Whipple S650 barely breaking 9s. They claim 880 horsepower on Octanium pump gas. Best cams for Gen 2 manual stock. 2.3 with a removable elbow because max porting? No, not because of that. Comp cam stage 3, 6 Suki. Alex, do you have much knowledge on swapping Calamar stage 3 3160 into 22 S550 MT82 right now? Sounds like a no, but it's a gear ratio change hatch, so it'd be just a gear ratio change, but it requires probably special files just to be able to get access. To be honest with you, 21 and up, I wouldn't really, oof. You want to start throwing Ben Calamar transmissions in a 21 and up? We better hope we have access to all the gear ratio stuff because on the previous stuff, it was very difficult to get access, especially Roush files. It was real difficult to get access to the gear ratio stuff. And reason for Roush supercharger would be for the small intercooler problems? Same intercooler, bro. It's the same fucking intercooler. You mean the heat exchanger? I would get an aftermarket heat exchanger like an AFCO dual fan triple pass. All right, I'm out of here. Thank you. Someone said, build a 23 blower and I'll buy it today. No, we're good. I'm out of here. So today we talked about Keith Ray going on a podcast, and the comment section just went all in on my situation with the motor that he built for me. Didn't build for me, built for me, but didn't really build it well. Just kind of had valve train issues. So obviously, I'm not going to really recommend you to go to get shit done by him. That's just how it is. And I'm not looking to get a refund. We're good. I'm going to keep that in my back pocket because fool me once, shame on you. You can't fool me again. So I'm good on that. Then we talked about X people that were hit up by the EPA becoming like, I'm sorry, becoming like SEMA like government handlers. It's such a weird, weird world. Turncoat style behavior, bootlicker style behavior, similar to what the NRA does where they think they're your friend or they act like they're your friend, but in actuality, they're in cahoots with the government to basically regulate what you can or can't do. That's SEMA to me, and I don't subscribe to anything that they got going on, Alejandro Flores, before they start saying the Lund angle and all this bullshit. And then we talked a whole bunch of shit about everything else that's going on out there. I'm out of here. I'll be back on Thursday for YDBT Daily. We'll see what happens between now and then. Talk a little shit then. Tomorrow, I am dropping a video. That's right. Tomorrow, 4:30 p.m. I'll give you an update on Hush Money's motor and how to switch over from pump gas to E85, how I did it in the 13 Mustang, and it gives you at least a different perspective as to how to switch fuels and what to look out for. Have a good rest of your night. I'll see you guys on Thursday. See you later. Bye.